I have some scriptures that I will call your attention. First of all, the priceless value of godly relationships. The priceless value of godly relationships. You know, we're in a world that says, do unto others before they do unto you. We're in a world that is lawsuit happy or sad, whichever way you look at it. We're in a time when someone spills hot coffee in their lap, and maybe it was a hotter coffee than it should have been, but it wasn't that many million dollars worth of hot. But that's the world we live in. But there's something that God really touched my heart with, and I just want to take it and just put it out there for you to think about it tonight. And you might want to write some scriptures down, the priceless value of godly relationships. I want to read to you from Job, the 4th chapter, verses 3 and 4. Behold, thou hast instructed many, and thou hast strengthened the weak hands. Thy words have holden him up that was falling. You've held up the man that was falling. You kept him from falling. I believe one translation said, thy words have put men back on their feet again. And that's what the anointed gospel will do. Thy words have holden him up that was falling. And thou hast strengthened the feeble knees. And then from 1 Samuel 23:16, and Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David in the wood and strengthened his hand in God. The king's son, Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David, who was hiding for his very life in the forest, in the woods, and strengthened his hand in God. The thought of the priceless value of godly relationships, and I'm not going to try to preach, I just want to minister from my heart here for a little while tonight. The word value means to respect. It means to cherish. It means to rate highly, to highly esteem. Really what value means, and I have one of those old dictionaries, I like the old ones. I mean, before man tampered with it, and before some of the trends have changed these things around. But that word value goes on to say, to see and to handle as that of great value, that which is priceless or of great worth. In other words, the value is up to you to see and to handle something or someone as of little value or of great value, of no value or of priceless value. It's up to you. I'm constantly amazed at what some people call value. What is junk to one person is valuable to another. Sometimes, unfortunately, a companion that was never loved or appreciated or did not have the blessing of the entrance of the Word and the quickening of God's Spirit. Sometimes there are those who are left feeling like dirt, but someone else sees great value. And so it is all through life we see that very thing. You know, God, all through the Word of God, has had a habit of taking nothing and making something out of it. God can take a stick. God can take the jawbone of a donkey. God can take a rod. God can take a little boy's loaves and fishes and see that of great value and use it to feed and to minister to thousands of people. So I want to hit that one more time. The priceless value of godly relationships. Value means to respect, to cherish, to rate highly, to highly esteem. That's the positive side of it. To see and to handle as something that is of great value, of priceless, great worth. And of course, the value is up to you to see and to handle something as someone else. And to see someone else of little value or great value, or no value or of priceless value. Now that word relationship, we've heard a lot about relationship. Brother Gentry has ministered on numerous occasions and referred to relationship. As I travel around the world, we're hearing that word more and more. But that word relationship, first of all, there is relation. You can have a relation, but not a relationship. You can be related to someone, but not really have a relationship with them. There's relatives that hate each other's insides. That's a sad thing. And so you can be related, but not necessarily be in relationship. But as I looked at this word relationship, it's a strong word. It means the state or the character of being related. All right, that's the beginning. It means kinship, but also it means consanguinity, a word that you don't hear used very often. Consanguinity, which means blood relationship, the same blood, covenant relationship, a descent from the same ancestor. And ladies and gentlemen, I want to present to you tonight, whether we understand each other or not, and I only say that because you may not know someone here tonight, no matter what we think about the body of Christ, we're born again. We're of the same family. We're of the same blood. We may be different colors of skin. We may come from different ways of doing things. And as we've traveled just the last few days, you realize how lazy Americans are. Over in Europe, it's nothing uncommon to speak four languages. Nothing uncommon. They're trying to forget Russian. They won't acknowledge that they speak Russian. They say that's the language they're trying to forget because of the heartaches. I'm putting myself in the circle. We are the most blessed people on the face of the earth, but we're the most spoiled people on the face of God's globe. Thank God for the United States of America. Thank God for this nation. Thank God for the freedom that we have. Thank God for the freedom that we have. Thank God for the freedom that we have. But I want you to get this in your spirit tonight. The person sitting next to you, if they're born again, they're a very special person to the heart of God. I remember one outstanding evangelist, God spoke to him and said, "Hey, I died for your wife just as much as I died for you. You're not any more special than she is." You know, we get to sometimes being exalted in pride and we think, well, I'm more special or more gifted or whatever. The same blood of Jesus was shed for every last one of us, not only in this room, but throughout the whole wide world. And so the priceless value of godly relationships, the priceless value of that blood relationship. Brother Dave, we have a blood relationship tonight. Your name's Duell and my name is Nichols, but we're blood brothers in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Andrew and Jamie, we're of the same blood. Our names have nothing to do with it. We're children of the Most High God. We're in covenant relationship, some more, some less. I'll talk about that. And thank God we come from the same ancestor. Glory be unto God. And our past is the same. Now, carrying this thought a little bit further, the Bible said in Proverbs 17:17, a friend loveth part of the time. A friend loveth at all times. A brother is born for adversity. Now you say, where's the shouting side of it? I think we'll get there after a little while. A friend loveth at all times, thank God. A true friend. And a brother is born for adversity. If you go through the epistles, the one another teaching is such a beautiful, beautiful teaching. How that we need one another and all the grace to one another. We're so interwoven. We are so interwoven. The world is becoming closer every day. English, while not spoken by everyone on the face of the globe, but wherever an airliner flies, there is supposed to be someone in that control tower that speaks English. English is spoken all over the world. I've had several airline pilots confirm that. At least they're supposed to have an English-speaking person in every major airport, in every control tower, because all over the world you can fly somewhere if you can only speak English. And that can be related. The world's getting smaller all the time. I was noticing over in 2 Thessalonians, the 3rd chapter, verse 2. Paul said, "Brethren, pray for us that we may be delivered." From what, Paul? From unreasonable and wicked men not capable of a sustained, harmonious relationship. As I studied that out a few years ago, I realized you can spot the wicked man. His mouth betrays him. His deeds betray him. His fruit betrays him. But unreasonable people are hard to put your finger on. I mean, it's like the proverbial slippery pig. They'll slide right between your fingers. There are people in this life who are not capable of a sustained, harmonious relationship. And it's a God shame. While we're all different, we should all flow in the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. When communism came in, they didn't try to destroy the church. They just neutralized the church. They didn't want to destroy the church. They knew we need a little religion around. And so they pitted denomination against denomination and church against church. And if there was any charges to be brought, they would urge another church to bring charges against another church. And then in families, children to bring charges against their own parents for not following communism. You see, they didn't want to destroy the family. They just wanted to neutralize it. And that's why Abraham said, "Let there be no strife." Doesn't mean we can't have honest times of talking things out. That's not what I'm saying at all. We'll all see some things a little different the whole way through. But as we look at this relationship thing, let's go down very quickly. First of all, we should pray about divine appointments that could develop into relationships. You need to pray about that. I pray about who I am around. I pray when I go to a convention or a conference or I go somewhere. God, lead me. Don't let me get in alliance with a Gibeonite. Lord, don't let me get off the track that you're calling me to fulfill. Lead me to someone that we can be of like precious faith and fellowship. So we need to pray about divine appointments that could lead and develop into relationships. Number two, godly relationships are divine appointments and divine connections brought together by God. Godly relationships are divine appointments and divine connections brought together by God. You can't force a friendship and you can't force a relationship. Some of you that are in the courting days, you know you can't go with somebody that won't go with you. You can't force a friendship. God brings godly friendships. You say, "Where's he going?" Just trust me. It'll be all right. Godly relationships are divine appointments and divine connections brought together by God. Now, Brother Andrew has told the story, and we both laugh about it. I had a neighbor across the street from me, and he was a coach at TWC and of kind of a fame. I think he played basketball himself, and he loved Brother Andrew with all of his heart. Loved him with all of his heart. He'd asked me several times. He said, "Do you know Andrew Womack?" I'd be out in the front yard, and I said, "Well, no, I've heard about him, but I don't know him." "Oh," said, "he's a good brother. You need to know Andrew Womack." And I don't know if he ever said the same thing to Andrew about me, but one day they invited us over to eat at their house. Well, they'd never invited us over. They were always friendly people, but they were busy and we were busy. And so we went over to this dear brother's house, and Andrew and Jamie were there, and Joe and I were there, and you could just see it on his face. "Now, I got you together." Now, if God had not been in that, it wouldn't have worked. But God used a neighbor. God used a neighbor. It wouldn't have worked if God had not been in it. But God used a neighbor to get us together. Well, I'd heard Brother Andrew on the radio. Or somewhere, I forget where I'd heard it. But you know, really, until something just really dings in your head, you don't really pay that much attention. But you know what? God began to develop a friendship and a relationship. And then we preached for one of their camp meetings. That must have been 10 years ago. And then we've been doing the family camp there for the last 9 years. And Brother Dave Duell. You see, by a divine appointment, God brought us together. You need to be careful about the people in your life. and ask God to lead you and guide you and direct you, because it's so very, very important. I was just thinking about Dave Duell. I kept hearing about this guy, Dave Duell, this wild cattleman, this man that comes from the plains, you know, and God saved him. And then I received an invitation to come to their church in Colorado, and we got to know each other a little bit better. And then for several years, we all going different directions. And then at least once a year, we spend almost a week together just ministering the Word of God. Another divine appointment, another divine connection that God gives. And from these two, and I'm going to pick on just a few quick people tonight, because I could go on and on with this in this auditorium. But I'm telling you, God is putting us with people that we can partner with. And when you get too many fish in your net, or something's not going, that you can call to the other ship, and the other ship can come over. And together we can bring more fish into shore than we ever could have. All three of us are as different as daylight and dark. But not in our spirits. Our spirits are one. We've never had a cross word. We've never had any kind of an argument. Never even, to my knowledge, even had a hint of anything of that nature. And yet they're busy in their world. I'm busy in my world. And yet God brings us together and we get something done. And I believe we're going to see more and more of this in the world in which we live. It wasn't by coincidence that I was associate pastor in a church, my father-in-law's church. And there was a young man in that church that growing up was very difficult in some ways. And yet God did a work of grace in his heart. Then he moved away for a while, but then he came back. And because we had shown love and interest and pastoral care for his family, Brother Keith Johnson started attending our church with his wife at that time in Fort Worth. Became a part of our church, and then moved out to West Texas in a little population, 1,100, and built up a church about 450 people in 1,100 population. That ain't bad, you know. Not bad at all. Probably more than that, they were running buses over the Oklahoma border out there. And I saw that young boy that shouldn't have made it, and the other members of their family that shouldn't have made it, that are some of the strongest young preachers on the face of the earth today. And God, divine appointments and divine connections. Oh, we need to be sensitive. We need to be sensitive and alert to the people that God sends into our lives. This is not a monetary thing. This is not a popularity thing. But iron sharpens iron. And Andrew Womack has sharpened his iron, has sharpened my iron. Dave Duell has sharpened my iron. And I can name a number of others. It wasn't by coincidence that when I got to Bible school, there was a young man there from Los Angeles, California. And I met him, and we've been very dear friends through the years. Evangelist Glenn Shinn, he's here tonight. It wasn't by coincidence, right there. The next room over, in Bible college, green as a gourd, both of us, trying to figure out what to do next. But God knew what to do. That was a divine appointment. That was a divine connection. And then his wife, Faith, has been our executive secretary in the church for 20 years. And been a blessing, a divine appointment, divine connections. You're not in this audience by accident tonight. I said, you're not in this audience. You say, well, I'm not a part of this church. That doesn't make any difference. There's a ministry and there's a message here that's going to help you for the rest of your life if you listen to it. Janet kept coming to me. She said, Daddy, you ought to listen to this man on the radio at night. I said, well, who is he? He said, well, he's Jewish. I said, now, Daddy's kind of wild, but said, I like him. I said, I really like him. She said, I like to hear him. And so eventually when the revival came and I called Brother Steve over in Dallas, brother, I'm telling you, it was a miracle that we got that revival on the radio. And we worked together, and I saw that Steve had a heart for revival. And Steve saw that I had a heart for revival. We're not all the same. We're all a little bit different. But you see, if I can ever see a man's heart, if I can ever see Jesus in a man's heart, if I can ever see honesty and integrity and see someone that's committed to doing what God called them to do. I saw Jesus, and I saw a young Jew that probably was just about as crazy as David was. I don't know if he can play a harp, but he plays other people's harps. The music and all that. You may not understand everything he says. You may not understand everything I say. But I appreciate his zeal for souls. You know, you can pastor somebody that'll let you pastor them. A lot of people call me pastor, but you reach out and try to pastor them, you'll pull back two fingers minus. And I'm just thinking about relationships, divine appointments, divine connections. I got an invitation back in 1979 from the ministry over in Dallas, and I won't go into a lot of words about it. I love them to this day, love them very much. For 3 years, I gave my very best to drive back and forth to Dallas. The first year, twice a day, three times a week, round trip to Dallas when this place looks like it's going down the drain. Fighting to keep this place open, trying to keep the financial wolves off of this house a number of years ago. And I said, God, I'm going to plant seed in another man's field. And I believe you're going to take care of my field. I tell you, folks, we've got to get rid of this selfish business. I said, we've got to get rid of this selfish business. I helped someone else in the early days of their Bible school when we didn't even have a Bible school. I wanted a Bible school, but there's no way we could have done it then. But I sowed seed in another man's field, not knowing that those seeds were going to go all over the world. It's opened up doors all across Australia. I just got back 3 weeks in May. People that are still talking after 1979, 80 and 81, you'd think it would have cooled down. But they're still playing those videotapes all over Australia and New Zealand and God knows where else. But out of that, there was a man by the name of Tom Hemstock invited us to come up to see his church. And since then, we've had a part of that work. Divine appointment, divine connection. You don't know who God may have brought someone in this auditorium tonight to help change your life, to help you implement the vision that God's given you. God has someone to finance your vision. God has someone to help you do your vision. I was down in Florida checking out Rodney Howard Brown's meeting there when God told me to have him, and I didn't even know anything about him. Really wasn't interested, to be honest. I was hungry for revival, but God said, go check him out and you're to have this man. I thought, well, I know enough to obey God. I'm that smart. Divine appointment, divine connection. You see, the thing that God's put on my heart tonight, God wants us to see the body of Christ in a new way. God wants us to see value in one another. And so I said, and I kind of summarized, there's so many other things I could say. I was thinking about Tom Peters, pastor down in Florida, received our videotapes, asked me several times to come to his church. I've never begged anyone to come to their church. I'm not looking for a place to go. I go where God, I feel God wants me to go. Finally, one day he called and he said, look, Bob Nichols, he said, God wants you to come to our church. And something clicked in my heart. Since then, we've gone once a year, once or twice, two or three times a year. And out of that connection, I met Dale Gentry. And out of that connection, then we had a sustained prayer revival in our church. And out of meeting Rodney Howard Brown, I'm not fascinated by anybody's personality. I want to see God in somebody. If Rodney Howard Brown never comes, he will. But if he never came back to this church, there was an anointing that was released in this house. I'm not caught up in somebody's personality, but I've got enough sense to recognize the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And I respect that. And I'll come unglued very quickly if anyone has anything to say that's not kind along those lines. I'm going to tell you, we're going to have to get to the place where we won't touch one another's ministry, where we won't be critical and where we won't be hurtful of one another. I'll tell you, I need every minister in this room tonight. I don't see our staff as hired paid servants. I see them as part of the team. I thank God for our staff. I respect them. They're special to my heart. This staff, we've never had a closer staff than we have today. When they win, I win. When I win, they win. When we both win, that's called a Holy Ghost blowout. And I'm watching a growing anointing on each department, each staff member. There's a growing anointing of God upon their lives. And who was it that said so long ago, don't use people to build your ministry, use your ministry to build your people? And let the Word of God do its work in their life. I'm not looking for somebody to hire. I'm looking for people that are in relationship. I'm looking for people that are in it for the long distance run. What I need to do, what God's called me to do, I need some long distance runners. Andrew Womack needs some long distance runners to help him do what God's called them to do. Brother Dave, you're just about, what, a year or 2 years into your new church there in Denver after pastoring for many years. What you need is long distance runners to help you do what God's called you to do. And you know, a church or a ministry, it's like a marriage. It's not all honeymoon. There's bill paying time. There's divvy up time. There's come let us reason together time. There's clean the house time. Do the things that you have to do. The Australians call it, they said, now we have some housekeeping to do in the service. It means we got some tidying up to do. We have to get our house in order. But as I looked at this word, the value of godly relationships, the priceless value, every one of these names that I have called tonight, there's a priceless value of relationship. Dave Duell and I may see each other twice a year, but when we get together, we pick up where we left off. We had lunch together today, and it's just as if we'd been together all year long. And yet he's busy doing what God called him to do. I'm busy, but I have the assurance if I desperately needed Dave Duell, I could pick up the phone and he'd be here on the next plane. I believe that if it was possible. I believe if I desperately needed Andrew Womack, that I could pick up the phone, and I believe that brother would be here just as quickly as he could get here, and I would do the same for them. And we've done it time after time after time, all over the world, all of us have. I believe if there's something I desperately needed, I believe I could call Brother Steve, and I believe he'd do everything within his power to say, Pastor, I want to stand with you. I want to pray for you. You see, God doesn't want us to just see an audience of the color of skin, and the color of hair, and where we come from, tall, skinny, fat, short. God wants us to see the body of Christ. And God's brought us together in this room tonight. I look back at years ago of men that I could have been in relationship with. And God wouldn't let it be. I've had to let some things go. In fact, there's been a total turnover in my life, really, in the last 10, 12 years. Maybe 15 years. Been a total turnover. I'll tell you, I'm sick and tired of Phariseeism. I'm sick and tired of comparing us one with another. You know, I see it. You know, you look at this church, everybody's going to say a little something that you may not agree with, and if it's too far off the wall, I'll get it straightened out. I'm not afraid to straighten something out. But God's going to bring us and is bringing us to the place where we love one another and where we don't nitpick one another. And if we don't just say it like we thought they ought to say it, we don't, well, bless God. I mean, I've seen people, you can read body language. I know some people that attend this church. You can just get their Bible up and just press out and just have rebellion all over their face. And you say, do you cry? When they come back, I do, yes. I'm not interested in numbers alone. I'm interested in relationships. I'm interested in people that want to go the distance. I'm interested in people that want to be a friend. And I know there are different levels of it. Please, I'm not trying to put everything in one category. So with that, let's see if we can just go on through it real quickly here. So first of all, again, remember, we should pray about divine appointments that could develop into relationships. Number two, godly relationships are divine appointments and divine connections brought together by God. You can't force a friendship and you can't force a relationship. Only God can bring people together. Every acquaintance is not to be a relationship in your life. There are different levels of acquaintances. And there are many levels of people in our life, people that we love dearly, but there are certainly different levels. A relationship is built, listen to this. This all came to my heart this morning. This is fresh manna. A relationship is built on giving, not taking. There are people that will suck the life out of you if you let them. Joyce Meyer said something. She said, there's always someone that'll find something that you ought to be doing. And it's the constant quest of priorities. But I want you to know that a priceless, godly relationship is not a taking relationship. It's a giving relationship. And I like to be around givers, because when you're around givers, God blesses givers. God delivers givers. God brings givers out of a hard place and delivers them from the snare of the enemy. And so we need relationships of giving. Not, hey, that looks like a guy I can really put the con on. I will not tolerate people using people, abusing people, beating up people. My God, we've had enough of that in this world system without having it in the church. I won't tolerate some wolf in the hen house or fox in the hen house. And Brother Mark, we watch those things very closely. This isn't easy grazing. Someone that comes in and wants us to sell the mailing list to this church so they can make merchandise of the people of the body. Hey, I'm the easiest going guy in the world, but don't sell me short. I love the flock, and I'll not tolerate the flock being fleeced. You say, Mabel, what's he doing? He's pastoring. That's what he's doing. So just relax here just a moment. All right. Every acquaintance is not to be a relationship. A relationship is built on giving, not taking. A godly relationship is built on reciprocal benefits. A godly relationship should never be a one-way street. I never get around Dave Duell but what he blesses me. Never get around Andrew but what he blesses me. He's trying to give me something, I'm trying to give him something. We almost get in a fight about who's going to receive and who's going to give. Brother Dave Duell today, he said, man, he said, I've been in churches all over this world. He said, I've never been in a church that shines your shoes. It's boots. You had your boots on this morning. Yeah, someone came in, got my shoes. I had hungry all over my shoes. I mean, they've been all over hungry. Man, he took them. They came back. They're shining like new money. They're not real expensive shoes, but they sure are comfortable. Oh, thank God. And then he came in, got Brother Dave Duell's boots, and took them off and polished his boots. He didn't have to do that. He wanted to serve. That's something he could do. That's a value that he could share with you. The best way to advance yourself is give the best you have where you are. And before long, you'll be on your way up. It's built on reciprocal benefits. Godly relationships take time to form and grow. You don't force a relationship. You don't force a friendship. It takes time. Takes time. Brother Dale said relationship is spelled T-I-M-E, time. Spending time together. Godly relationships take time to build because mutual trust is a necessary ingredient. Mutual trust and confidence in one another. You know, if somebody told me something about a number of these people that I've named, and they said, have you heard the latest? I'd said, you're crazy. We're going to go get this thing straightened out. I know them better than that. I have confidence and trust. I have confidence and trust. You know, people that are always running their mouth about every last little thing they hear? I'll tell you what, God wants us to have confidence and trust in one another. And if there's something to straighten out, we'll go in love and help them get it straightened out. That we don't turn on each other and destroy one another. Oh, listen, people, I've resigned from certain boards, and I'm on other boards because I'm dedicated to loving the body of Jesus Christ. I'm tired of the Pharisee parade. I'm word from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet, but I'm going to love the whole body of Christ. And wherever I find Jesus in people, I'm going to reach out, and I'm going to love, and I'm going to minister, and I want to be a part of their life. Well, a loyal relationship can stand the test of correction and controversy. A loyal relationship can stand the test of correction. There's no relationship if it won't stand the test of correction. Oh, yes, you're my pastor, but don't try to tell me what to do. Hello. A relationship will help accelerate your spiritual growth. A godly relationship can and will help accelerate your Christian growth. Two more. A loyal, godly relationship will remain loyal and supportive even under criticism. And finally, a godly relationship, by God's help, can keep you from failing and can keep you from falling. We'll say that one more time. A godly relationship can keep you from failing and keep you from falling. People, we need godly relationships in our life. We need people that we can respect. I don't mean that you pour your insides out to everybody that you meet. And I don't mean that you just run out and do something superficial or foolish. The priceless value of godly relationships. There's many a young lady that could be kept from shipwreck if she would just keep her heart open. It's amazing what some of us in the body of Christ can see about different things that are happening between people. You know, 40 years in the ministry teaches you some things. You'd be surprised what I spot from this platform. But this is a safe harbor. It's a safe harbor. We're dedicated to trying to keep young people clean and pure. We're dedicated to try to tell young people life is not in marrying the first thing that comes your way. We're telling people if you're divorced and there's nothing you can do about it, don't just turn around and jump back into something else. Let God build strength and character and wisdom so you won't fall into those same mistakes again. The last 60 days I've received some of the most touching letters of this ministry saying, thank God for the quality of ministry in this house. It's kept me from mistakes. And just about the time I was ready to say, I'm just so tired. No one understands. I just need to do something. And the thing they thought they needed to do, they said the Spirit of God checked me in a Sunday morning or a Sunday night or when one of the staff was preaching, said this safe harbor has kept my ship from going shipwreck. So what am I saying tonight? Thank God someone's in this room that cares for your soul. We care for people. We care for people. The Andrew Womack Ministry cares about people. They love people. I've watched the minister. Brother Dave Duell ministered to our school students in such a beautiful way this morning. Was so anointed to do what he did the way he did it. But you see, when God's in it, it works. Amen. See, the world is so crazy, they're beating our door down to get their kids into a safe harbor. And I believe everything's going to be all right. Then went back to our Bible school, ministered to our Bible school students. Oh, thank God, godly relationships. Folks, God wants us to see one another with great value. Not to see someone as merchandise. Not to size someone up. I don't want if you give me a big offering. Most of the folks you think will do it never will anyway. Forget that. Young minister, forget that. What you do, you preach the word and God confirms the word. And God brings in the finance. You put God first. You seek the kingdom of God first. And God supplies all your needs. Oh, God's raising up some giants that though they've run for many years, they haven't run their ship ashore. But they're running strong on the word of God. Oh, I believe Brother Andrew's teaching this week of reminding us who we are and what we have in Christ. Thank God it got Tony out of Romans 7 into Romans 8. Young man down in Florida, almost 11 years ago. Think of all the transitions that have come in your ministry. Father, I want to thank you for the Word of God tonight. And I want you to show me the priceless value of godly relationships. Lord, not just using people or people using us. But Lord, that we flow together to accomplish what God has called us to do. Lord, I believe in this room tonight there's history makers and world shakers. I believe that not only with those who have already gone internationally, but I believe there are those in this room tonight that God's preparing and getting them ready for greater things. But oh, God, teach us the value of godly relationships.